All right. You know, think about it. $7 for a fantastic barbecue. Great fun with everybody. It's a great price. All I know is I went to lunch the other day. I'm not going to say what restaurant this was. It was a normal restaurant where you might get lunch. I got my bill, and I thought, I can't do this anymore like this. What a deal. I don't think you can find anywhere around here for $7 to get a meal like that. So it's going to be a great time of fellowship. Really want you guys to be involved in that. So, yeah, grab your tickets out there, and it's going to be a great thing. What I'm going to share with you today can change your life, and it's not because I'm sharing it or how I'm going to share it. It's because this is a concept that Jesus came up with, and I think we misunderstand it. And so I would like us to pray together before I get started, and just pray that the Holy Spirit will impart the truths that Jesus talked about, and that each of us individually will take this to heart. No matter what age you are, this can change your life. And if this changes your life, it's going to change the lives of people that you know. And if we all do what I'm going to talk about, very mysterious, there's no stopping what God can do in changing people's lives. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we just love you so much today. Thank you, Lord, for your word. It's absolutely life-changing. And Lord, what you talked about here when we're talking about servant leadership is something that is incredible, but it's not the way we naturally think. Help us today, Lord God. Holy Spirit, impart the truths of the word to each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. All right, so I am going to discuss servant leadership, and you might say, well, I might as well walk out, or I might as well get on my phone because I'm not a leader. Well, I really hate to disappoint you or to argue with you, but I need to say that if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are called to be an influence on other people. And if you're called to be an influence on other people, that makes you a leader. Yeah. If you're a mom, if you're a dad, if you're a grandpa, you're a grandma, or whatever you want to call that, Grammy, you are a leader. And it might just be to your own family, but an influence nonetheless, which makes you a leader. And every person who accepts Christ into their lives is called to influence someone else for Christ, okay? Everybody. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 5, 14 through 16. We're just going to start here, even though we are in the book of Acts, but we're going to go to Matthew. This is what's on the wall out there. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. We're going to keep going. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So God has called us to be leaders, to shine his light in how we live and what we say, that other people may see. And as I mentioned, we're progressing through the book of Acts. It's really an incredible book, and today we're going to be in Acts chapter 6. It's not a long chapter, and so if you have your own Bible, you can follow along. And today I'm reading from the New International Version. A lot of the time I do the English Standard Version, which is a favorite of mine, ESV, but today's NIV. Okay, here we go. Verse 1 of chapter 6. In those days, When the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So what in the world is Hellenistic and what in the world is Hebraic? Here we go. The early church in Jerusalem, it was diverse, okay? Had both Hebrew speaking and Greek speaking. That's what we're talking about. So the Hellenists, the Greek speaking Jews, they may have felt marginalized within the predominantly Hebrew speaking community. Now, we know of two different instances where there were large numbers of people that came to Christ early on with the early church. And so 3,000 who came to Christ at Pentecost. Then in chapter 4, we find that after Peter and John prayed for the lame man to walk, and he walked, the number of males who believed had exceeded 5,000. Now, since they only counted males, sorry, ladies, definitely a cultural thing. I apologize, but that is the way it is. There could have been over 5,000 family units that had come to Christ. So imagine a community. I don't know how many people were living in that community, but that's a lot of people in a short amount of time. And so the rapid growth of the church, it also strained the existing system of food distribution. Doesn't sound very exciting, but this was a very real thing. The apostles, who were primarily responsible for managing the resources, were struggling to keep up with the increasing demands. This is what we find they're talking about here. So in this dilemma facing the apostles, Greek-speaking widows, as opposed to Hebrew-speaking, okay, were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food because of a mix of factors, including cultural differences, language barriers, and potentially poor administration. So maybe some of the apostles weren't so great at administration, we don't know. But even if they were, I mean, this is going to stretch them. They're being stretched just like crazy, okay? Too thin. So verse 2, so the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. So brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. Okay, I mean, this sounds good. I have always found it interesting, every time I run across this story, I just think it's interesting that for positions that were so administrative, kind of manual labor in some ways, you know, they're distributing food. Very much a servant's role. The criteria for the apostles to choose these men was that they were to be full of the Spirit. And for wisdom, I've always just thought that was interesting. I suppose when we think of maybe hiring somebody or putting somebody over a position, maybe in the church, we certainly want them to be full of the Spirit. But you know, a lot of the things that they do might be administrative, so they need those kinds of skills. But that's not what it says. It says full of the Spirit and for wisdom. A bit of a side here is if these things come to me as I go through these scriptures. Just this is just a little bit of an aside, okay? Tiny rabbit trail. If God has chosen to bless you with certain spiritual gifts, praise the Lord that He does that. Can you say amen to that? But you don't use wisdom in using them. This can be harmful to people. You think, how can that be harmful to people? Yeah, if you don't use wisdom and you share it at the wrong times, you don't have a clue as to where the person is at that moment. It's just the wrong timing. Or if it's not done in love. Or for instance, let's just say God has given you the gift of prophecy or the the gift of spiritual discernment, something like that. But you don't use wisdom in sharing these gifts, it can actually cause confusion in people. I've seen it over and over again, okay? Over and over again. But when you use the wisdom of God and the gifts of God together, I only have one hand here, wisdom of God, gifts of God, powerful thing. Powerful thing, okay? Wisdom. Can you say amen to that? End of my rabbit trail. Okay. But when we head back to our scripture, we find that this proposal pleased the whole group in verse 5. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip. I'm just going to give my best at these names. Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. So that's great. This is fantastic. They chose solid men, 7 of them. And they laid their hands on them, prayed for them so they could better distribute food to those in need. But see, we're going to find out in the upcoming chapters that they were much more than reliable administrators, much more than reliable manual workers. So we're talking about Stephen, who had the gift of miracles, and in his death had an all-time powerful message, and Philip, who became a great evangelist. So what does this tell us? It tells us that no matter what task you fulfill as a servant of the Lord in the church, that God can use you through the spiritual gifts he has given you in whatever he decides to do. And as I was going through this, every time I would come across that line, in whatever he decides to do, so oftentimes we end up doing what we decide we need to do. But God has a plan. Whatever he decides to do, and we must follow him. Now, one of the main reasons I believe that God used these men so incredibly is the fact that they understood servant leadership. That leading others isn't about being the king of the hill, but serving those you are placed over. I read a really good article by a guy named David Mathis concerning servant leadership. He is on the Desiring God website. And he discussed Satan's influence on our society in this topic. And it says this: Satan's influence in a society is to view leadership as the ascent to honor and privilege rather than the descent to attend to the needs of others. So that doesn't sound that bad to me. We see it all the time. And you might even think of it this way yourself if you're striving for a position in whatever it might be. You know, there's honor there in gaining that position. There's honor, there's privilege that can be yours in a higher position. That doesn't sound so bad, does it? That doesn't sound so crazy. Well, let's take a look at what Jesus has to say about this. And Jesus uses this phrase, lording it over. And I'm going to put this on the screen. Lording it over, that is to act in a way that shows one thinks that one is better or more important than someone or someone else, okay? More important. Well, when people think this way, it brings in all sorts of possible problems. This can cause people to be controlling and to dominate other people. You think you're better than everybody else. Because you have this leadership. You have power. You have power. That is such a human problem in our world, and we see it everywhere. People get power, they don't want to lose it. That's human nature. They get power, they don't want to lose it. And there is a possibility to be controlling and to dominate other people. And on a large scale, we have seen this in many countries throughout time, as you know, people being controlled, freedoms being taken away. And I'm just going to say once again, despite a lot of the, I'll just call it disagreement in our country, I am thankful our country is still, by and large, a free country. Now, our founding fathers, with much godly wisdom, I might add, put lots of boundaries, limits, and fail-safes in our Constitution to help keep these things from happening, because many of them were godly men, and they understood humans. And humans, can, when they get power, can really begin to go south and make bad decisions. And begin to control, begin to dominate, those kinds of things. And so they put a lot of different limits in our Constitution. And I'm so thankful for that. We have had over the years, even since I've been around, situations where it looked like things might get a little crazy, a little off of when we're talking about freedoms. Lots of times. And that comes across our airwaves, our internet all the time. And I am thankful for our Constitution that keeps limits on many things. Now, I could go way, way into that today, but I'm just going to leave it there. Can you just say amen to that? Amen. Amen. And it has lasted to this day. So let's find out what Jesus says about leadership. Matthew 20, 25 through 28, it says, Jesus called them to him and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. There's that phrase. Okay? They think they're better than someone else. They begin to control them. And their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So this is an attitude. It's a view how your role as a leader needs to be. But as Jesus says, we look not to be served, but to serve. We are looking out for the welfare of those we are leading. That's a fantastic way of looking at it. You're looking out for the welfare of those that you are leading. As a parent or grandparent, there's a whole lot of serving going on. I think you guys know that. It's full of serving. And there's times when children need to do things for themselves. And this takes much wisdom from the adult in the situation. And we all, those of you that have had children or are grandparents, that you go through this. It takes a lot of wisdom to be able to know when you are just to be serving. And when you are to say, nope, it's your turn. You do this. Whatever it is. You clean your room. Whatever it might be. Jesus at times deals in what's called hyperbole. And in this case, it's a type of teaching. He does that once in a while. He'll say something in a very extreme way, but it's to prove a point. It was a type of teaching. And he will exaggerate a situation to make that point. And it's what I believe he's doing when he uses the term slave. It's just that idea of humility and a willingness to care for and serve those that you lead. Okay? So these men were chosen to care for the widows and make sure they were all being fed along with everyone else who had needs. They had the understanding of servanthood and to care for others above themselves. And this humble attitude went along with how they conducted themselves with spiritual gifts. I'm going to say that again. This humble attitude went along with how they conducted themselves with spiritual gifts. So it wasn't just in serving the bread, serving the food, which in some ways is sort of humbling. But it also went into their spiritual gifts. Acts chapter 6, 8 through 10 says, "And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people." So Stephen, this is the same guy who's helping to feed widows. This is what we think he's doing. Well, Stephen becomes a very famous person, although it did not end well in some ways for him. But he was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Verse 9 says, "Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians, the Alexandrians, and of Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking." So again, this is Stephen, who helped feed widows. Now Philip was also one of those who was a part of this team of seven, distributing food. Let's jump forward to chapter 8. It's a little spoiler alert. Stephen is killed. If you don't know the story, Stephen is killed, and we'll be going through that very soon. But Stephen is killed, and when he is killed, there's a great scattering of the Jews, and they go to all different areas of that part of the country. Okay, and so. Acts chapter 8, verses 4 through 8 says, "Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria, proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip. And when they heard him and saw the signs that he did, for unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city." So here we find Philip, the bread distributor, also preaching, performing supernatural signs, and ministering the word of God. So God can use each and every one of us, no matter what we're doing in how we're serving the Lord. He can use any of us with spiritual gifts by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is what we're seeing here. These guys not only, again, are distributing bread to widows and probably making sure that those others who are in need get the food, but they're also out doing incredible things spiritually. So David Mathis also says, "Christian leadership then is fundamentally about giving, not taking. Christian leaders are men and women who are secure enough and mature enough to empty themselves for the good of others." This is the goal. This is the goal. I'm not saying that you're here now. I mean, I can remember when I first led anything in the church. The first thing I ever did was I was one of the youth leaders. So the youth pastor put me in charge of a group of kids. And I don't know, there were probably 10 of them. It was a pretty large youth group. It was up in Albany. And I didn't know what I was doing. I just loved Jesus. I was a little bit older than these guys. I was around 21. And so I led these guys. And then we were all trying to make enough money to get all these kids to camp. So we did all these different things. And then my group won the big prize. They were able to get all their camp paid for. That was the big prize. And so they did that. But for me, now, there was a lot of serving going on, but I really did not have any idea about leadership or the right idea to have about leadership. So I kind of thought, oh, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool that I did that. Well, all these years later, I can look back and It was not about me, that's for sure. And the reason that they won really, really wasn't me. I remember I had to miss several of those meetings. And it's a different attitude that you develop, okay? You develop over time, and it's probably easier for some than others. I'm going to say that. But that's the goal. That's the goal, that Christian leadership is about giving, not taking. It's about giving out. Can you see what I'm trying to say here? Okay. So do you want to be a secure person? Do you feel like, wow, I'm insecure? And all of us deal with this, by the way. But do you want to be a secure person, knowing who you are? Do you want to be mature in the Lord? You find these things, learning and recognizing who you are in Christ, a child of the King. But this also means you learn to empty yourselves for the good of others. And we continually grow in this, hopefully. Hopefully you're wanting to grow in this area. And as we will later find, Stephen gave of himself to serve others, but both in meeting physical needs of widows and others to help distribute food, but eventually to give his own life for the benefit of others to hear the gospel. So what specifically is the good for which faithful leaders will take initiative and make sacrifices? According to the Apostle Paul, it's laboring for the joy of those in our charge. It's 2 Corinthians 1 says, not that we lord it over your faith. There's that word again, that phrase. But we work with you for your joy, for you stand firm in your faith. So moms, dads, grandmothers, grandpas, listen closely. If you haven't discovered these truths already, now is the time. The physical and spiritual welfare of your kids and grandkids, I think most of you know this, but I'm just going to say this anyway. It's not about you and your enjoyment or your satisfaction, okay? Though there are a lot of blessings there, as you know, there really are. Although I was thinking yesterday and speaking with some family members, I was thinking, I do not want to go through raising my kids through junior high and high school again. That was brutal. Your heart gets broken about once a week, I think. Just the things that kids go through, my goodness. There are obviously a lot of blessings, but it's not about you being embarrassed about maybe something they've done or are doing. Say you've got kids or grandkids that are making bad choices. Most of the people I know, their hearts are broken. But it's not a matter of being embarrassed about them. But I'm there with you. I'm there with you. I mean, my kids were just like everybody else. They made some bad choices. Not near as bad as I made. So I always had to remind myself of that when they would make a bad choice. But being willing to lead your family is a difficult task. And this applies to both moms and dads. And it takes real love. It takes real patience. It takes real humility. And at times, making real boundaries that you have to stick to. That's hard. And that applies to all different kinds of situations. The goal is to lead them somewhere good, where they may not have gone on their own. That maybe without your guidance, without your leading, they may not have ended up in a good place. So like the Son of Man, we lead not to be served, but to serve. We die to self so that others might live and thrive. And for each of you, whether you're a president or, you know, an owner of a company, a leader in your workplace, a home group leader, a children's ministry worker, student leader, mom, dad, grandpa, grandma, this attitude of servanthood and humility, it applies to all of us. Now, have you ever been frustrated with a role that you might be serving in? And you might be thinking, I really should be doing something else. This isn't really my gift. Why doesn't someone recognize my gifts? Why aren't I put in a different position? I've been there. I'm sure that the seven who were called to help distribute food, who had all these other gifts, I'm sure they ran into all sorts of issues with this and people complaining. But they continued to serve, and not just serve physical needs, but we saw with Stephen and Philip, they served spiritually as well. To bring as many people as possible to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Servant leadership is not for the faint of heart, but it is what Jesus has called us to, and there is much joy waiting for you as you sacrificially serve. And the reason why I'm saying that this is, I think this is misunderstood, because you really need, what I want to say here, you need to know Jesus. You need to know him personally and be growing in that, because the more you grow in that, you're going to understand more and more what this means. And when Jesus is talking about sacrifice and he's talking about serving and having that attitude of caring more for the people that you are leading, okay? Caring about them. Now, I thought about examples in our church, and there's a lot of different examples I could have used, and these two are, they're funny, and they give all of us a hard time on the worship team, but I thought of Mike and Denise Bottoms, and here's why. Mike plays bass today, Denise is on the keyboard, Denise has recently... in the last several months, replaced Chrissy. I thought I saw Chrissy here. Is she here? Is she there? Yeah, she moved to Idaho. Anyway, I heard she was here. Anyway, she replaced Chrissy and doing a great job. But here's what I have seen, and I noticed these things. When there's something to be done, you don't have to ask them. They just do it. They'll ask you, maybe. They'll ask us if something needs to be done. Do you need help? Do you need help with this? Is there anything else I can do? They're hard workers. They are, they'll give you a hard time. And, but they're also compassionate at the same time, both of them. I hate to put them both together. They're husband and wife, because they're really different people. They really are. But they just do a fantastic job of serving in both a practical way and in a spiritual way. They care. Both of them do. I've seen it. I've seen it lots of times. And I'm sure they have their faults, like all of us do. But I'm not afraid to say it, because I've seen it in action. And they're servants. And... as a pastor, I appreciate that. I will tell you that. Now, I need to say that they are just two of many that are here at Bethel. And I could name quite a few people here who have that heart. So if I could get the worship team to come up, that would be great. And in these days to come, once again, I'm going to help prepare the way. Now, it's not quite like John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus, but I guess it's the same idea. I do want to fulfill that role. And I've been the leader here for 3 years, as you know. And my role now is to step back. My role now is to prepare the way, so that God's people that he has called are successful when they come. And Pastor Randy and Andrea, we need to continue when they come to serve together, to serve the Lord with gladness, to prepare ourselves to serve. No matter what position in the church you find yourself in, serve God, and He will use you in whatever capacity He desires. Follow Him. I don't know if how many of you have ever seen that series, The Chosen? How many of you have seen some of that? Well, a lot of you. Okay. I have to be honest with you. I always say this lately because I just recently really started watching it. And Teresa and I have. And when I first started watching it, I would kind of jump in the middle of it. And it was kind of slow. And I was like, ugh, I can't stick with this. Well, I started from the beginning. And there's just these moments in this thing that are pretty awe-inspiring. And mostly having to do with Jesus. And the effect that he has, and the guy who plays him is just fantastic, and the writing is really good. I encourage you, at least I've seen the first couple seasons, to watch this and give it a chance, because it's very powerful. And the reason I bring it up is because it's very strong in there about following Jesus. And Jesus will give instruction, and it's the instruction that's in the Word of God. Now, they take it all other places, but the main things are the main things. And Jesus will give instruction, but not explain everything. And when you read through the Gospels, you find that over and over again. He tells these guys things, but he doesn't really explain himself. And basically, over and over again, it's just follow me. Just trust me. Just follow me. I want you to do this. And they have all kinds of questions. And he says, just follow me. And as I was going through this week's teaching, I just kept thinking that. Just follow Jesus. Just follow Jesus. You're going to end up on the right side of things. No matter what position in the church you find yourself in, serve God. And he's going to use you in whatever capacity he desires. So learn to find your joy. This is another thing that you're just going to have to learn. Find your joy, not in your accomplishments, but in the joy of others that you lead. And when the joy begins to come, who find that Christ is where their joy and peace will come from, and you see the joy that comes in their life, and they're so excited about Jesus. There's nothing like that. Nothing like it. And it's something we all need to grow in. We're all at a different place. And if a large portion of our church becomes those humble servant leaders, you just watch this church explode. You're all wonderful people. I know most of you. I can honestly say that. I think you're all great. But we can all grow in this. And I would like nothing better than when Pastor Randy comes and Andrea and their two girls, that they find a church that's ready to serve. They find a church that's ready to go and to care about the needs of others and care about those that they are serving with, and if they're in a position of leadership, to care about those that they are over, okay? And they're serving. And I would like to pray over us today that this concept would be something that the Holy Spirit speaks to you about, okay? And that no matter what leadership position you're in, because I've been there where there is a temptation to be like, oh, wow, I'm over this amount of people. That's great. That's fantastic. And you don't think that you're thinking about you. Well, you kind of are, and that's human nature. But what God wants for us to do is to begin to look and see, God, touch these people. Touch these people, God. What can I do? What can I do to encourage them? What can I do to lead them? What can I do to teach them? And maybe it's your family that you're having to think about or needing to think about. And so you get excited when they get it. Yes, yes. And we're going to have a lot of excited people around here. A lot of excited people around here because we're going to be serving the Lord together. We're going to be encouraging one another. We're going to be challenging one another. This is what it's all about. It's not just about coming to church, although I'm glad you're here because a lot of people aren't. So way to go. And if you're online, I'm not putting you down. A lot of you can't come, and I understand that. But if you can, love to have you here. Love to have you here. Okay. I would like to pray with you. And before we pray, if you are a person that has come here today, you like the sound of what I'm saying because you're lacking something in your life. You're not sure what to do with your life. You don't get it. What's my purpose? Well, I can tell you every person who lives and breathes, their purpose is to know God, and that is for you too. And if you'd like to talk to someone about that, there's an area back there called the Next Steps, and there's some wonderful people back there who would love to talk to you. So let's all stand up. Let's just all look to the Lord, if you would. Lord, speak to each of us individually, we pray, if you're not already, about being a servant leader and having that idea of servanthood. There are times where you do manual things. There's times when we are enabling others to do so. But Lord, the bottom line is that attitude of servanthood. Help each one of us, Lord God, to have that attitude. I want to serve. I want to help someone else. Lord God, that comes from you. And Jesus, you are very plain about this. You said that the nations of the world lord it over others. But you said, it is not to be that way with you. You are to serve. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us, not just today in this room or online today, but that it goes from today. And Spirit, please bring this to mind as situations come up. I'm here to serve. I'm here to serve. So we love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to sing one more song. I'm going to be excited to do this song because it's a great song and it's got a great message. And so here we go.